Well, hey, everyone. We are opening up this week's inbox, and I have our counseling department's Danny Huerta in the studio. Hey, Danny.
Hey, thanks for having me on here again.
Absolutely. We like hearing from you because you're kind of in the fray day to day. You take calls here at Focus, and so you're kind of our boots on the ground as to what people are asking.
We do. We get a variety of calls, and we really enjoy getting those calls. That's what God wired us to do, to respond to that.
Well, that is good. It is a huge benefit that we have here at Focus on the Family that not enough people know about. So sometimes I'm just going to put Facebook posts up on my page, and I'll be like, call our counseling department and ask for Danny Huerta specifically. I'm going to do that from now on.
Oh, wow.
We'll see how that goes. So that's good. All right. Well, here we have a question for you that you're going to answer. And it is, of course, about a relationship, because that's one of your areas of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, my boyfriend and I are both committed Christians, active in a local church and about to be engaged. Throughout our dating, we've been fighting the temptations of sexual sin. But the other night we slipped up and had sex. We're both extremely remorseful and broken about our sin and have already confessed to other Christians in our church. We're resolved to not fall in this sin again. What can we do to heal our relationship, prevent this from happening again, and deal with any effects it will have on our future marriage?
Well, you're well on your way towards that restoration by sharing in a community of Christians and believers, that people that have the same values, similar values. And then as well as that, I noticed that there's also the resolution to not fall into this again. And so just by that commitment itself, those two things are going to help the success of that. There's also the reality that fighting temptation, I think Paul talked about that in Scripture. I think we can all relate to the idea of temptation, either temptation of food, temptation to sex, temptation to for money. I mean, a variety of things are trying to grab our attention. And it's because these things feel so good internally, and emotions try to grab the driver's seat many times. And so the question I would have here is, what in this commitment, the resolution to do this right, what are they doing differently? That's the key piece. No matter what am I going to do? And so making a list of no matter what's would be key. Five no matter what's in their relationship. Mm-hmm. No matter what we're going to read together, no matter what, when we start feeling this feeling of intense attraction, we're going to be honest with ourselves and with each other and say, hey, you know what, it's time to call it a night. Maybe no matter what, we're not going to be alone past 10. No matter what, we're no dressing provocatively.
Mm-hmm.
The other one would be, no matter what, we will make sure that we are honest with others in our community. Mm-hmm. And so just those no matter what's are important to put up somewhere you can see them and recommit yourselves. Also doing little monuments, like buying something and saying, hey, this was our commitment, and remembering that, just like we have monuments out in the community to remember things. One of the exercises that's really... actually, maybe a cheesy exercise, but a really good one, is one that it doesn't necessarily apply to when you've already maybe had sex, but you can. You can apply it if you want to in a way. What I'd like to explain is two people making bread together, okay? So let's say the boyfriend-girlfriend decide, hey, let's make bread together. And Martha, as you said, is a baker, so she'd probably appreciate this.
Mm-hmm.
You would make two loaves, and in the process, you'd be looking at pictures and looking at all the different breads you could make, and then stick one straight into the oven. You want to make sure that one of the ingredients is yeast, and you stick one straight into the oven, and the other one, you just let sit out for the 4 or 5 hours that you normally would let bread sit out, and then you compare the two. And figure out ahead of time, who do I want to give a gift to? And you guys both decide, hey, who should we give a gift to? And at the end, decide which piece of bread you're going to give as a gift. And what's interesting is the one that's stuck straight into the oven right away is undercooked, dilapidated, flat, all the same ingredients. The only difference in those two is time, because the recipe called for the time. And that was it. What has to take place during that time? The yeast has to interact with the sugars in order for it to be ready, right?
Mm-hmm.
In our hearts, God intended, he had a recipe for sexuality. And that was, we needed time in order to learn love so that we can have sex. It was love first, then sex. A lot of times we do sex first and then love. But you can see the recipe with the bread, it doesn't work well. And the same thing with sexuality. So God intended that recipe so that we could have satisfying and long-lasting sexual relationships. And so that's a recipe. And so if anything, if a couple would commit to doing that, maybe at their 1 month anniversary each time or 1 year anniversary, and remembering, hey, wow, this is our commitment because we want to follow the recipe because we want a gift at the end. Mm. We want it to be satisfying. We want it to be what it was intended to look like. And if you look at the, if you compare the picture of the bread that's undercooked and you look at what it was intended to be, there's a huge contrast. And then you can't put a lot of peanut butter on there, you know,
yeah.
and honey and things like that. It's all flat.
Very true.
So,
yeah.
So it just gives illustration of a satisfying relationship. So I wanted to share that. And one other thing is, if people want to read further into this in Scripture, Psalm 51, David messed up. And he talks about having a contrite heart, but one that is able to be cleaned whiter than snow. So it's the assumption that there can be a cleansing through that relationship with Christ, of being able to not rest in shame, not stay there, but say, hey, God, cleanse me. And they're starting this process, this couple that weighed in with their question. Psalm 119 talks about loving God's statutes. It says, how can a man keep his way clean? And I love that question. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure in verse 9? And it says, by guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Mm-hmm. And so they don't look at commandments as something negative. It's something good that keeps them safe, keeps them on this path of success.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think this couple is needing to look at. The commandments and these statutes, it's about a recipe that gets them to where they want to go.
That's good. And I think not neglecting, even in this, even in the monuments and other things that they're going to set up, not neglecting that community. So maybe bring in an older married couple to whom they can do this before, you know, bring someone else into the story so that they're not tempted to just say, well, you know, we decided this, but, you know, we're going to kind of cave on it a little bit today or whatever, but really have that objective kind of accountability, and that might be good as well.
Great idea, Lisa. I think community, having mm-hmm. having mentors in the mix is a fantastic idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I know if I tell myself I'm not going to eat a box of donuts, I can tell that to myself, but when I'm off by myself, I can just go buy it and say, well, I'm going to start again tomorrow. But if someone else knows that I'm not going to do it and
right.
knows that, you know, it just helps. Mm-hmm. But yeah, very good stuff. Also, I want to draw your attention this week to other stuff we have going on at Boundless, because it ties in here. As many of you know, we're in the middle of our sex series, a series of articles where we're addressing sexuality, specifically related to singles. And first, you want to go back and read our first one by David and Amber Lapp, because that's going to give you a construct of the worldview of sexuality and where we are right now. Because really, if you don't understand what God even thinks about sex, it doesn't even matter what kind of boundaries you're putting in place. You need to understand what the purpose of this is. It's not just about avoiding STDs and about not getting pregnant, okay, people? So read that. And then this week's article, specifically by Jennifer Jones, deals with sexual boundaries and what does that actually look like beyond, you know, what you were told in high school youth group. We all remember that, but we need some things that are practical for young adults where we are right now. So thanks so much, Danny.
Thank you. And I wanted to throw in another idea of a book. When
oh, yeah.
Good Men Are Tempted.
Okay.
For the men's side.
Okay.
That's definitely a good one. Again, Renovation of the Heart is a
okay.
good one as well for guys going through that process of wanting to be pure. The other one is Breaking Free by Russell Willingham.
Okay.
That's for guys stuck in pornography or kind of more of a sexual addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely can get them started towards a path of healing as well. So thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it, Lisa.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll throw your thoughts on the blog and be around next week as we continue to delve into your questions. But that is it for this week. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.